Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Dan Schwartz. He's the Nevada State Treasurer. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Dan Schwartz. He is the Nevada State Treasurer. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Let's start out with talking about these educational savings accounts. Paula Enos did a terrific interview with a young woman who is helping to promote these savings accounts and kind of dealt with the question that's been raised, which is that this has been mostly a middle-class issue. And what she said was, it's a question of education. The people who are the most educated are the people are going to find out about this first. But she and her group are conducting seminars and encouraging minorities and other folks to get involved so that they can take advantage of this as well. Is this your thought on how the program is going?
Yeah, I'd agree with Paul. I mean, I think one of the issues is there was a lot of commotion that this was a program for the rich and the poor were going to be left behind. That's simply not true. It's really a middle-class program when it starts. One of my intentions is, depending on how the Supreme Court resolves the issues, is that I want to get together a group in Carson, probably from the governor's office, from the legislature, and myself, and really start thinking about ESA 2.0. Truth of the matter is, we need more private schools. We need more teachers. And I think this is an issue that we need to talk about before the ESAs become truly effective.
You know, talking about the need for teachers, I mean, we struggle both in Washoe County and certainly in Clark County to get teachers into the public school system. How do you think that we're going to be able to get more teachers into the charter school system?
Well, there's actually charter schools are actually considered public schools.
That's true.
Right, yeah. But you probably mean to say the private schools.
Correct.
And the answer is obviously you've got pay is an issue, how much they're paid, working conditions, you know, the students that you're working for, that you're working with, you know, language. I mean, the public schools certainly, and I'm a public school guy, confront a lot of issues, and you know, at least my opinion is there's some really excellent public schools, but there are also some that are not very good, and I think if we create private schools that probably pay a little more, probably have some better working conditions, are focused on education, I think we'll get teachers.
From the pay standpoint, though, I mean, won't that put a burden on these other schools now to be able to provide that education and higher salaries at the amount of money provided by the ESAs?
When you say the other schools, are you talking about public or private?
Private.
Private. The answer is yes, but I think what parents seem to be, what parents are concerned about is the quality of education their kids are getting. And I know that there used to be public schools that actually paid less than private schools. And the teachers just simply like the working conditions. They like the attitude of the students. They like the relationship with the administration. So they were willing to give up a little in order to get a better place to work.
You know, Dan, talking about these education savings accounts, of course it was passed by the legislature last year, but before it goes into effect, it has a hearing before the Nevada Supreme Court on July 29th. The ACLU is saying that it violates the Nevada Constitution because you can't use taxpayers' money for religious purposes, which, you know, Catholic schools and things like that. So you have a big hill to climb before this goes through. What do you think about the Supreme Court and how they'll rule?
Well, Ray, I've never, first of all, I don't know how the Supreme Court's going to rule. You know, we're optimistic. But the truth of the matter, 2 points. Number one is the ACLU lost its case in Las Vegas. Judge Johnson categorically said, this is not for religious purposes. It's for educational purposes. So, I think that their argument is not a winner. The other issue, if I may, is the common schools argument, which is the case that Judge Wilson ruled on up here, and I have a big issue with his ruling that there should be an injunction because evidence supports the fact that this violates the Constitution, and there was absolutely no evidence in that case.
That's the common schools.
That's the common schools
right,
case.
Because right. There are two issues in play here.
Right, right. As I said, Judge Johnson has already ruled. Again, you know, the Supreme Court can overrule him, but he has very clearly said that there is not a sectarian purpose here. And again, I just look at the analogy to medical care. You know, if you have a medical issue and you go to St. Mary's or you go to another hospital that's run by a religious order, you get your payments. And education and medical care are both different, but I think in this case, it's the schools are there to educate our kids, and I think that was the intent of the legislature. And as I say, Judge Johnson, I think pretty clearly and vocally said that there is not a religious purpose here.
Let me ask you this: how, if at all, do you think the breakup of the Clark County School District is going to play into this?
Well, I'm going to answer that as the state treasurer. There's actually an issue for us, and that is the school bonds. And I don't have an answer for it, but Clark County School has borrowed money, and the real question is going to be is how they divvy the debt service up amongst the new school districts. I don't think anyone has really addressed that. We've thought about it. We've been watching what's going on. But I think it will be a real issue once this becomes a reality.
And is there a potential problem with the bondholders being able to come back and say what you're doing does not follow the lines of these bonds, and therefore the money needs to be repaid immediately?
There is that possibility.
Wow, I mean, what kind of turmoil would that cause?
It would be extreme. I mean, I'm. I think it's a real issue that everyone has been focused on the education, which is very important, but no one is focused on the financial aspect of it, which is, as you described, could create a fair amount of turmoil.
Are we talking tens of millions, hundreds of millions, $1 billion? I mean, these school bonds.
I believe it's in the hundreds of millions. So that Clark County has borrowed.
And would that put the state on the hook for that, or would that put just Clark County?
I think it would just put Clark County on it because the answer is I don't know to the nth degree, and there may be some state bonds on there, but most of the borrowing is at the school district level.
Okay, so would that essentially then bankrupt the Clark County school system? Are they able to declare bankruptcy?
I don't think it would. I mean, I think, you know, these things get straightened out eventually. But it's certainly going to raise an issue that I don't think has been addressed.
Well, we're starting to address it today. We'll take a break. More with Dan Schwartz when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dan Schwartz. He's the Nevada State Treasurer.
Dan, you recently had, what would be called a payday loan summit in Las Vegas, talking to various industry representatives. And in Nevada, the payday loan industry has no limit on their interest rates, and they have set up shop mostly in poorer neighborhoods and near military bases. And do you think this is a way they take advantage of people, or did you discuss that at the payday loan summit?
We did discuss that, and I actually made the comment, and it's true as far as I can tell, that there is a vast majority of payday loan offices near military bases and in poor neighborhoods. And one of the industry lenders, stood up or didn't stand up. He made it a point. He said, "Well, you know, my borrowers are good people. They're solid people. They work hard. They just get strapped for cash occasionally." And I think he, as I've thought about it, I'm not saying that payday people who borrow from payday loan centers are bad people, but I think his point is well taken. And as I think about how we solve it, I think your point is quite valid. There is no maximum, there's no ceiling on interest rates for payday loans, and in fact, Nevada is second only to New Mexico in terms of our average rate. It's about 526%.
526%.
Right.
That is an insane amount. Do we know, for comparison's sake, what the mafia is charging these days?
Well, I think the mafia is probably pretty cool at like 35. I don't know. I don't get in touch with them. But the real issue. I mean, there's a couple of issues here. It's an insane amount, and what it comes from is just the pancaking of loans.
And
is that people come in? Let's assume you've got you have an accident or your child is sick or the TV needs repair, and your payday is 2 weeks, you need $200. So you come in, you borrow $100, or say $200 for a week. Well, it turns out a week from now when you get your paycheck, you can't pay it back, so you only pay $100. Well, you've still got the $100 plus the fees, and then you take out another loan, or they extend it. So then you've got your original loan plus the refinance loan plus all the fees on that. And then instead of owing $100, you pay back, let's assume you pay back $100, but you now owe $150 at whatever at the new rate. So your loan amount, even though you've paid back money, you now owe more money, and the fees just keep building up. And then 2 weeks from now with your next paycheck, again, you can only pay back, say, $50. You take out another $100. A lot of these payday lenders have access to your bank account. So you write a check and it bounces because the payday lender has come in and accessed your bank account.
All right, so let's take it from the other side. Yeah. Let me play devil's advocate here, because the payday loan companies are going to say, and they do, that they're the lender of last resort. The reason that they're in these poor neighborhoods and near military bases is because banks won't loan to the people who need this money. And in a lot of cases, it is short-term money that's needed to cover the rent or an emergency, as you pointed out. So the question is, if you come down on the payday loan companies, then these people have no place to go.
Well, Sam, you're actually right. I mean, I agree with that. So as I say, we're not seeking to put an end to the payday loan industry. And The real variables, I say, we've done two hearings. We met with the borrowers. We met with the lenders. We're going to have a public session. I think it's August 10th. But the real question is not so much ability to repay, but is access to capital. And the Treasurer's Office is considering a bill that will facilitate access to capital for borrowers. Maybe not the real extreme, but for a lot of the borrowers who come in, who work hard. We have a lot of military people. You're in the military, you get out, you've had your clothing, your housing, your food paid for, and all of a sudden you don't. And you're getting, you may be getting unemployment, you may be getting some other salary which doesn't meet the needs of your family, so you go out and take a payday loan. But you're a good borrower.
Okay, is there any other state in the nation that's doing this?
To my knowledge, no. I mean, again, I'm proud of what we've done at the Treasurer's Office. We've got probably one of the best college savings programs in the country, and I don't know how the legislature would greet it. We would set it up along the lines that we set up our private equity program. But effectively, it would be a program that would provide access to capital. We'd have to do it through an RFP to see who would do it.
So you would then go, it would not be the state providing the money, it would be a bank some kind.
Right. Initially, I don't think it's such a bad deal because...
But would the state have to backstop it?
The state would have to backstop it.
Okay, and with the costs of Medicare... for Obamacare going up so dramatically, do you think that there's going to be any appetite for a program like this?
Well, your question's a good one. The answer is I don't know, but I think it's an issue. It's a problem that we can solve, and I think we can make some money on it. I mean, I don't think we're going to get rich.
Really?
Yeah.
But you would. What kind of interest rate would you want?
I'd probably want to do it under 15%. And which is about a credit card.
No, it's, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, 18%.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, if you have medium to bad credit, and definitely much higher. And if you default, you're talking about in the 33% range. I mean, I would be happy to come and get a 15% credit card from you.
You may not. No, but the answer is I know. It might be 15, it might be 35, but I think the vast majority of payday borrowers are probably not bad credits. We all get in the cash bind,
right?
And maybe you don't pay it back in 2 weeks. Maybe you pay it back in 4 weeks. And I think if we do it on that basis, I don't think we're going to lose money.
Do you think that there's an appetite to install a usury law in the state to cap the amount of interest rate that can be charged?
I think we thought about that. We can ask for a usury law. We can ask for a maximum number of loans. We can ask for maximum terms on loans. We can ask for a database. We probably need a database in any event. And I think that if we begin to start setting parameters on the loans, we're going to get into it with the payday lenders. And as I said, they do provide a service.
And they're a very powerful lobby. Let's take a break. More with Dan Schwartz when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Sales at Consign Appliance have been great. We need your gently used appliances to keep our showroom filled. Pickups available. Don't hesitate. Call today for more info. Consign Appliance, the safe, easy way to sell your appliances.
Looking to sell your gently used furniture or household items? Let Consign Furniture help. We'll do all the heavy lifting, pricing, and selling for you. Give us a call today and arrange for pickup. Consign Furniture. It's the easy and safe way to sell.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dan Schwartz. He's the Nevada State Treasurer.
Dan, I wanted to go back to something that happened at the legislature last year. Remember when you presented your alternative state budget, and you were treated very rudely, to say the least, by the Senate committee hearing this Senate Majority Michael Roberson, Ben Kiekheffer kind of got on your case. Do you feel that there was kind of some, there was almost a conspiracy between the Senate leaders and the governor's office to make you look bad that day, or? You know, it was kind of a uncomfortable situation because so many people seemed to be upset with you, and you were criticized by parents for saying that you were against anti-bullying and autism funding. So, what do you take away from that day last year that has to you must remember?
I remember it well. I wouldn't necessarily call it a conspiracy, but I think there was certainly a concerted effort by the governor's office and by some of the Senate leadership to embarrass me. I don't take offense at it. It's now a year later. But I make the same argument that I made then. And I think what I proposed was different than what the controller proposed. He had a separate program. What I said was simply that the governor is I'm a Republican. The Republican Party is really against tax hikes. I mean, we're revenue neutral. And out of nowhere, the governor came up with this very large tax hike. I think the governor's a good man. I think he's honest. I think he means well. But coming from a private sector background, you don't try and do everything at once. And I think what I was suggesting was that the governor ought to prioritize on what he wanted to do. He wouldn't have had to have had the massive tax hike that he did, and then postpone the balance for the next session. I mean, that could have been done. And I don't think that was done.
What about the autism funding? Is your office against that?
No, not at all. I mean, what I believe as a public servant, that the state has a lot of resources at its disposal, and we should try and help those who are unable to help themselves. I mean, I'm a Republican, I'm a fiscal conservative, But on the other hand, we have a duty to all our citizens to see that, you know, at least the minimum minimums are met. So I don't have any problem with autism. I don't have any problem with all-day kindergarten. I don't have any problem with bullying. But I think that there's a long laundry list of things we need to do, and we can't do them all at once. And that's my suggestion.
Have you had conversations with the governor since then?
Well, I don't, as I say, Governor Sentinel and I have a cordial relationship, but the truth is the governor doesn't really talk to anyone. He and I meet at the Board of Finance. He's polite, cordial. We have what's known as the Executive Branch Audit Committee. We meet there, but other than that, we don't see each other.
He doesn't talk to anyone. Can you expand on that?
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but for our next visit, thank you so much for being here, Mr. Treasurer. We really appreciate it, and please come back soon.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Rick.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
Yeah. To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
It's time to update that old, outdated bathroom. That's why homeowners are calling Bath Planet for out-of-this-world service at down-to-earth prices.
Our bath was so outdated, and I hated the bathtub. And I only take showers, so I always wanted a shower. And that's what made me decide to finally get a shower.
Bath Planet has received a 94% recommendation rating from Guild Quality. Design your new bath or shower now with our unique design studio on the Bath Planet website. Our bath and shower designs have been tested and earned the Good Housekeeping seal. That means you get a 2-year warranty, plus Bath Planet offers a lifetime warranty.
Call now during our 60-60-60 sale with 60% off installation of a new bath or shower. Ask about low monthly payments for up to 60 months, senior and military discounts, and act now to receive a free $60 restaurant.com gift card with your in-home estimate, plus a bonus. The first 60 callers during this program will receive free installation on their bath or shower purchase.
It was Mama's shower, and so she was a little edgy about stepping over and slipping, so we wanted to replace it and make it safer for her.
Ask about easy access tub to shower conversions and barrier free showers, or a relaxing deep soaker tub installed in as little as one day.
Remember, call now during our 60-60-60 sale for 60% off installation of your new bath or shower. Ask about low monthly payments for up to 60 months and the free $60 restaurant.com gift card with your estimate. Plus, the first 60 callers during this program will receive free installation on their bath or shower purchase. Don't wait. Call now.
On our next broadcast, the former Nevada State Party Chair, Jill Derby, will join us. We'll see you then.